was that it seems like NBC Peacock is streamlining, and Dan, correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, about Sunday night and the importance of their Sunday night product, because we all know Sunday night football, we're all into it. So now with the NBA, you're talking about Sunday night basketball, and it looks like they want to get into Major League Baseball. They want the Sunday night product for baseball. So, I mean, I do think that'd be kind of fun. Tom Withers is in for Jeff today. I I'm good. Like, if NBC wants to own Sunday night, I think it's cool.
Football?
Everything.
Everything.
So that it's not only just football that you're going to spread this through basketball and then to baseball.
I've just found over the last couple of years how exhausting it can be, like, when you can't find a game. Like, you know, you would go to your normal spot, where, you know, whatever night of the week it was, and you're like, oh, God. And then we had a bunch of neighbors that
Apple was the thing that messed me up.
I was just going to say Apple with the Guardians. And they're like, so we ended up having a little Guardians party one night because we were the only ones on the block with Apple. I finally...
That could be a good song.
We gave
Guardians party.
There you go. We gave in years ago, my wife, Lori, and I, and we're just like, you know what? Bring them all on. Every streaming service just... And our cable bill is kind of ridiculous. And I know there's ways to kind of, you know, cut corners, what have you. But yeah, I got them all. So
I'll tell you, like the Disney Plus package is awesome
because
you got ESPN, you got Hulu. Although something's going on with Hulu right now, I probably should pay attention to it, but I haven't. But and the Paramount Plus I think is great, especially when you're looking for football too.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's as a matter of fact. Let me remind you of this before we get right back into the talk. About the quarterback situation, because we want to do that. Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. I said that on my own, just so you know. That had nothing to do with this. You can't count on much these days, and you know that. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I love it. I love watching it. I just think they do a great job. So 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in on. All right. So let's go back to like this whole conversation about where we are with the quarterbacks and the reality of what, like I said something earlier in the show that I hadn't thought about until I said it, that, you know, a caller had said, we see what we see in Shedeur Sanders and we see what we see in Gabriel. And then I said, it's like looking at a deck of cards. If they're all lined up before you dish them out and all 52 are lined up, you only see one card. And we all know that there's 51 other cards under there, but we're already assumed that every card is that first card because we can only see that card. So I just think it's interesting. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
for somebody who's at practice all the time, like,
yeah,
we don't know what's going on in practice.
I was amazed last week to hear the varying opinions on how Dylan Gabriel looked, right? I mean, everybody watched the same game, and it felt like I heard four different perspectives and reviews of how he played. Listen, all that matters at the end of the day, Andy, is how the Browns feel about him, right? How the coaching staff feels about him. You know, they believed in the kid to take him in the third round. They believed enough in Shedeur Sanders to draft him. They got two young quarterbacks that they feel really good about, that they want to develop. One is, I think, a little ahead of the other one at this point. But again, as I said earlier, that's not to say that Shedeur Sanders can't eventually pass Dylan Gabriel on that depth chart. I think that's what's got people are all caught up in, you know, the depth chart and where things are at. And listen, I think the Browns, from a public standpoint, had to say that it was going to be an open competition between four quarterbacks.
Right. They didn't use the word fair, though.
We all knew that.
Everybody thinks when they hear the word competition, they always assume it's fair competition. They never use the word fair. I'm sorry.
But we all knew what that meant, which was that it was going to be Joe Flacco against Kenny Pickett for the starting job.
Right.
And then these other two kids would, you know, battle it out to be either the two or the three, or depending how things shake out. Listen, as we've learned in this town, things change quickly at the quarterback position, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could be different as early as Tuesday here. Who knows? A lot of things can happen. Trades can happen. Injuries can happen. A lot can happen.
Trust me, we've been. What, we go 15 quarterbacks last year during the regular season? That's what it feels like.
We've seen it all. And unfortunately, we're getting into a situation now, too, where, you know, I'm not going to say Browns fans are divided, but there are certainly pockets of Browns fans that feel very strongly, whether it's about Shedeur or about Gabriel or about Flacco or about Pickett. And it's going to work out. Like, let's all chill.
I remember when they signed Flacco, like how excited people were. And I looked at Jeff and I'm like, oh, they've already got Pickett. Like, I think they want Pickett
that was
to
the
win
first
job.
Move. And like I said to you before, I think they were very intrigued by, you know, the fact that he's kind of put his time in. I know from talking to a couple people in the building, they are really impressed with the care he puts into it. Now, you know, the injury has really been a setback for him, right? Because
I can't tell you the phone calls we get. Like, the one in particular is like, free Kenny Pickett, free it. He's hurt.
He's hurt.
Like, he can't do anything. He's hurt. By the way, Shador hurt. Yeah. Like, people don't want to, they want to say, well, I don't understand. Why isn't Shador the start? Well, part of it might, I mean, even if Pickett, Flacco, and Gabriel didn't exist, he's hurt.
Yeah, and I think it's been unfortunate. There's been so many voices coming out of Berea with varying, again, some people have agendas. Some people want to see one guy ahead of the other for whatever reason, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we've heard a lot about how so-and-so has looked at camp on one day. Listen, the days that I've been there, I've seen both of them look really good, and I've seen both of them struggle. Rookie quarterbacks, that's what's supposed to happen.
All right, let's take a couple more phone calls because I know people want to chime in. And let's go to Henry in Strongsville first. Hi, Henry. How are you?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I was just laughing. It's just so funny to me. I said, man, if I had a job that would be the greatest job in the world is the Browns marketing, because our fans have the shortest memory of anything. And I'm sitting there going, I even had to look up the articles about DTR, how he's shining. And he's showing how he can make it in the league after his first or two preseason games, and this whole town was a buzz.
I'll never forget when they handed him the ball before the Ravens and had literally told him hours before that he was starting. Do you remember the stadium? It was erupting before the game. Fans were DTR, DTR. I mean, it was magic. It was electric.
It was amazing. It's just amazing to me that people have forgotten about that. And then add, you know, to the point how important the preseason is. What happened the last time we went undefeated in preseason?
I think we didn't win a game that season.
Correct. So I'm just sitting there going, everyone, just relax. I mean, Sanders was a fifth round. I mean, that whole Eric Dickerson thing blows my mind. That, to me, is the biggest. If anyone even remotely thinks that could possibly happen, when the NFL has five black presidents, seven black GMs, and six NFL coaches currently that are black, do you really think that lie could have passed that when it comes, one of the minority owners, Condoleezza Rice, you don't think she would have got wind of that?
You know, I thought it was interesting. The point he made was it made it sound like it was one person. Thanks for the phone call. Like, can we play that clip again, Dan, just so everybody can hear it? Because it's kind of a something. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's just like, is this true?
Yeah.
And then again, like, when we say the NCAA, right, like, is it the NCAA one? Oh, I heard from the NCAA. You did? Because the NCAA is every member school in the country.
Right. Yeah.
And so when someone says the NFL, who are we talking about? So if we get a chance, let's play. This is from the podcast on
audio
LA.
Courtesy of AM 570 LA Sports, Rogan and Rodney.
And I'll tell you this much here, what I heard from someone that's in the NFL, that the NFL told other, don't draft him. Do not draft him. We're gonna make an example out of him. And this came from a very good source. And he said that, I won't say who, somebody called the Cleveland Browns and said, don't do that. Draft
really?
Him. Yep, draft him. Don't do that. Because they weren't going to draft him either. They weren't going to draft him. Mm-mm. They were forced into drafting him because somebody made a call to them. Said, and I say, when I say this is a NFL side source for sure.
One singular source. Remember, we had a big conversation about this whole two-source reporter. We were talking about this before we went on the air today. That doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And Eric's a former player, so I mean, I respect
he's
him enough to know
in.
That
he knows
what's going on.
He knows a lot
on,
of people. Yeah, I just, it's unfortunate. I just think it's playing into this bigger picture and this bigger problem and a mess that has been created by all of this. So,
yeah, I
don't want to give it too much validation, and I think we're kind of running the...
Well, I did. The problem, I had the same problem in Washington. Like, when they drafted RG3 and then Kirk Cousins, I was like, why? And when the Browns did the same thing, I'm like, why? Why are you drafting two quarterbacks that close in the draft,
even if it's third and fifth round? At that point, I think they felt like it was a good value pick, that there was probably enough people within the building that felt very strong enough, mm-hmm. about Shador that, hey, let's take a flyer on this kid. Like, we don't have a quarterback. We don't have a future quarterback. Let's get a couple guys. Let's take a, you know, let's have a kid that's going to Oh, by the way, let's have a kid that's going to push Dylan Gabriel as well if we feel more strongly about him.
It feels like Occam's razor. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's the simplest solution is probably the solution. The simplest answer you can think of is probably the answer. Tom, you laid it out beautifully. I think we're all overthinking this way too much. I think it's just as simple as he, you know, Shedeur Sanders came into these interviews and the offense that he was running in college wasn't up to the snuff of the NFL. And he maybe had a hard time in between some of these things and he fell. And so he's here now.
That's a
and he
big needs fall, time though. To develop. It just seems like, again, and I think it was Siciliano that said this, that we were, I mean, never before have we seen a player go from might be, I'll even be generous about this, might be top five to third day.
Okay, but how much did
it? And so the other part of it, though, is that I'm not trying to cut you off, is now you're saying.
I always cut you off.
No, you don't. Now you're saying Shedeur Sanders the first night over and over and over again. Now the second night over and over and over again. And then the third night, you know, until they say his name, it's like, it's just, I mean.
Okay, but then how much?
It's like if I'm buying a commercial on the radio, I want you to keep saying my name over and over and over again because people are going to be talking about
it. Initial assessment of him having to do with the fact that his dad's a Hall of Fame player and that they've marketed him incredibly well. Not to say, though, that he didn't play well in college. I mean, he completed 73% of his passes.
Those guys put Colorado back on the map.
Oh, they did.
Although it's always interesting when we get guys from Denver that want to talk about it, they're like, especially guys that graduated from there. All right, let's come back. We'll talk more about this here in a moment. Also, Tim May, 1 o'clock.